Welcome to the City Gospel Movement's podcast. This is a special series sharing the Adaptable Playbook, a framework for success for your evangelism team. Together, we'll explore 11 proven steps that really work for cities across North America who want to raise the temperature of evangelism in their communities. We'll hear from practitioners in these cities, humble leaders who have wrestled faithfully with the challenges these steps address. We hope you leave these conversations encouraged and equipped to own the lostness of your city one step at a time. To learn more about evangelism teams, the Adaptable Playbook, or what God is doing through collaborative evangelism efforts across North America, visit citygospelmovements.org. Today we will hear from Jed Mullenix, president of Within Reach in Omaha, and Gary Kendall, campus pastor at Westside Family Church and the catalyst for Unite KC in Kansas City. Together they will share about step 9, establishing a strategic plan to train everyday believers. To have an effective evangelism strategy for your city, it must engage the everyday believer. In collaboration with your leadership training strategy, identify practitioner-level trainings for everyday believers. Strategically identify trainings that uniquely engage and reflect the diverse aspects of your city. How will everyday believers in your city get better at evangelism? The gospel is for everyone, and all believers are called to share their faith. How will the E-team create strategic avenues to equip the whole body? Consider equipping strategies in areas where everyday believers are already serving. Let's hear what this looks like in practice as we dive into today's conversation between Jed, Gary, and Chris.
Welcome to our podcast on the Adaptable Playbook. We're excited to keep the conversation going. We're on step 9 here, which is establishing a strategic plan to train everyday believers. So this is kind of how does the rubber ultimately hit the road here? How do we actually walk with brothers and sisters in Christ in our city? And we're really excited to have this conversation with two of our key city leaders, Gary in Kansas City and Jed in Omaha, which if you think about it, that's kind of like steak and barbecue. So this is, Jed has been a pastor over the years and in New England, and he and his wife moved to the Omaha area where they've started building out a city network there and with their 5 kids. And Jed's done such a good job with the organization Within Reach of really creating a strategic plan. And Jed, you do that so well. Thanks for joining us today, Jed.
Thank you.
Yeah. And Gary too. Gary's been in this work a long time. Gary's been serving over 40 years in Kansas City. I mean, that's pretty remarkable. We could do an applause. Gary, thanks for all of your work. He's got a podcast called Courageous Conversations, and just this idea of loving neighbor and, being highly involved in your local church as a pastor at Westside Family Church. Gary, we thank you for jumping into this too.
Mm. Glad to be here.
Yeah. What an honor. Thanks, Chris. Love you guys.
Today's going to be a fun conversation because we like to get technical. We like to be really smart. We like to be impressive. But if this doesn't make sense at a simple level, if we can't mobilize basic activity with anybody, sometimes I wonder if we've been clear enough, right? Einstein said something, I'm going to misquote it here, but he said something about like, get everything as simple as possible, but no simpler than that, right? Like, it's never perfectly simple, but how do you get this to a point where anyone could understand that they have an ability to be a witness of the good news of Christ, that they actually have an ability to love their neighbor, be a light to their neighbor, the feet of those who bring good news. How beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news? This is something that's possible with anybody. And as city network leaders, you know, we strategize and come up with big plans, but this one is kind of like, how could we actually land the plane with anybody who's following Jesus to break out of that, you know, 1, maybe 2% of the body of Christ who shares their faith? What if we grew that to 3%? What if we grew that to 4%? What kind of a difference would that make? One of our pastors in the Seattle area in Auburn, he has this big vision. It's called the One Vision for 2026. And the idea behind it was, what if everybody just prayed for one person this year? You know, he's like, we could double the size. You know, I mean, like, that's kind of, it's like, wow, what a genius idea. But actually, kind of is a genius idea, right? Like, what if we just actually took this responsibility on ourselves to actually maybe share and pray with one person. So that's kind of what we're talking about today, is the idea of mobilizing the body of Christ. And that feels a bit overwhelming. Like, I don't know how many thousands of believers are in Kansas City. I don't know how many thousands of believers are in Omaha, but this is a bit of an overwhelming task. Where do we even start with this? Gary, I'll start with you. Like, when you hear that as a challenge, like, okay, let's mobilize and equip the body of Christ, the everyday believer. Where do you start on a conversation like that in Kansas City, Gary?
I guess I would start where my wife and I planted a church and led it for about 30 years. And we felt like it was time to turn it over to a younger leader and let it have a new life cycle. And at that same time, I really felt challenged by exactly the thing that you're saying, which is interesting because I don't think we've ever talked about this. But I really began to be burdened by what would it take to mobilize every believer in this city to be able to be the hands and feet of Jesus. And this prayer captured my heart, and it was, Lord, would every person in Kansas City hear the good news from a friend? And I started thinking, oh man, how do you do that? And it felt overwhelming. About the same time, this is 2017, I found Chris Cooper and the Bless app and began to think of, you know, what if believers just were adopting the neighborhood where they lived? And what if they used the Bless app as a tool and live the blessed rhythms, which, you know, simply, you know, B, begin with prayer, L, listen, E, eat, S, serve, S, share. Like, those are simple rhythms. If we all did that, you know, what could happen? And so I really began just trying to, everywhere I would go, talk about the value of loving your neighbor and saying that the two things we have to offer to the world are love and hospitality. And if we would do that over and over and over, like across the city, it would change our city. And fast forward to today, the last time I looked, there were 5,310 people who are using the Bless app, or at least have downloaded it, to adopt their neighborhood, which means we're praying for about 12% of the city. But that's been almost an 8-year journey now. But that would be a tangible evidence of what you're saying, Chris, is like, if you were going to do it, you probably need a rally cry, which is love your neighbor. You probably need a tool, which is for us, become the Bless app. You probably need a practice, which has become the blessed rhythms. That's how we've gone after it.
That's a great way to summarize that. You need some sort of way to rally, some sort of easy tool, and some sort of practice. I love that. Because it does need to kind of land somewhere. And yeah. Some of us get the tool and we kind of roll our eyes and do something else.
Right.
And then we kind of realize that the tool probably was pretty helpful after we go, you know, make
it's
a mess of
magical,
something.
But it's helpful.
Yeah, they're just helpful. It's helpful stuff. And so the Bless tool, Gary, I wonder, just take another brief second and unpack that strategy really quick under Bless.
A lot of people are familiar with the word Bless. We want to do it. And actually, non-Christians are open to the idea of being blessed. You know, B is begin with prayer. And these don't have to be in order, but L is listen, might be the most important of all of them. E, eat together. It starts with relationships. S, serve, is how we earn the right. And then story, your story and the story of Jesus. And so we, like this fall, we're doing a blessed conference where we're inviting our city to come and we're teaching through the blessed rhythms. In November, we have an evangelism conference and it'll be one of four different ways we teach people to share their faith. So I think it's endurance, it's persistence, it's staying after it. There is no magic in it, in the sense that if you download the app, that doesn't make you automatically an evangelist, but it can help you do what you already want to do. If I want to cut down a tree in my backyard, I need a tool, you know? So it's just a tool, but I probably need one if I want to cut down that tree.
Yeah, well said. And who doesn't want a garage full of good tools, nice tools, like, you know, not the junky ones. I think that's really well said, to keep it practical. Jed, you've done a good job of keeping it practical within a larger strategy. I mean, you guys did some really practical work to develop a larger strategy, but this idea of a strategic plan in Omaha to mobilize everyday believers, talk to us about how you guys have approached that there.
Yeah, Chris, for us, this journey began several years ago, just in being introduced to the idea of an e-team and being kind of wedding that together with this idea of reaching our city. We pretty early on realized we don't really know what a reach city would look like. You talk about mobilizing the body of Christ. We don't really know the state of the body of Christ in our city. So to draw a line between those two would have been very difficult for us. So we decided to take a step back and to launch what for us really worked, which was a city data mapping tool or a mapping project that we called State of the City Project, where through it, we got a pretty comprehensive view of how our city exists today And then out of that, we created a compelling picture of where we wanted to go in the days to come, so that every man, woman, and young person could encounter Jesus in a way their hearts could understand and respond to. And so that State of the City project really took us from 2022 to 2024. We launched it over that time at the end of 23 into 24. And within that, we captured four initiatives. I won't go through them all, but one of those initiatives was what we call flourishing neighborhoods. Gary and I actually have a lot of overlap. We haven't spent that much time together in our cities, but we have a lot of overlap in how we're running after this. And then a whole notion of flourishing neighborhoods, and I'll come back to why I think this is important, is that we want every neighbor in our city to matter. And we want everyone to encounter Jesus in a way they can understand and respond to. So we said, under this Flourishing Neighborhoods initiative, we want to activate 36,000 followers of Jesus to seek the well-being of their neighborhood, because like Gary said, that's where we believe it begins, by living sort of a blessing lifestyle to those around us. And then second, we want to equip 10,000 followers of Jesus to share the story of Jesus through their own story. Gary, I really appreciate your language in that, just to share the idea of sharing a story. Story resonates with the heart. Jesus came with the one true, the great story, and then he entrusted that to us to go share with others so more people can be drawn to the Father's heart. And then the third initiative in that, which really does correspond, but I won't talk about it too much in this, is that we want to deploy $75 million of resources toward compassion-related causes. The reason for that is we understood through our research with Barna that many people in younger generations, but I think this is true of all humanity, want to see that Jesus is good before they believe he's true. And so we want to, through our generosity, radical generosity, be able to display to the city that we follow Jesus, who's the most generous giver of all. And hopefully people will be attracted to him, sort of awakened to his goodness. So what we did out of that, it's kind of an exciting season for us. I won't get too far ahead, but we took that Flourishing Neighborhoods initiative, and then we're right in the middle right now of building that out into a roadmap. We're actually writing our second resource called For the Good. This resource will be the guide or the training kind of map by which we accomplish those initiatives or those goals that I mentioned to you earlier. And it, Gary, is built all around the blessed rhythms. For me, my life was really changed in terms of as a follower of Jesus and neighbor back in 2013 when I first heard Michael Frost share his Surprise the World or Five Habits of Highly Missional People at Exponential in Florida. And then shortly thereafter, of course, Dave and John Ferguson developed this whole Bells kind of model. We've taken that and really kind of plug and play that, but then we contextualize it with Omaha. And so it's really fun to be part of. We're through our first manuscript. We'll be getting that out and publishing it by next May, and so excited to see that come together. But I think what I would boil down to, Chris, is you've got to have kind of a crystal clear vision for what you're mobilizing people to and an understanding of why. And so we had to back up and say, why are we doing this? What's the state and health of the church? How do we get people in the game of living fully for Jesus in the places they live, work, learn, and play? And then what, to Gary's point, what tools or skills do we impart to them to help make the calling of Jesus in their lives simpler, not easier? That's the Holy Spirit's job, to really kind of breathe on us and, you know, ignite us for that purpose, but simpler, that tool, that's why it exists. So that's our process.
Yeah, that's really great. And I think both of you guys have been so thoughtful and intentional about the way that you've approached this. That's how you win the long game. I often think of that idea of like, man, I got to hit the weight room. I'm gonna put in like 10 hours today because I haven't been there in months. It's like, that's how you get injured. That's how you not go back to the weight room ever again, right? But when you have this kind of idea of creating some rhythms, creating some clarity, some clear tools, that's super valuable. And I love both of you too mentioned this idea, whether it's the grants, right, or just eating together and seeking to bless people as a posture. It's like, look, you know, a lot of people talk about the whole gospel, you know, and sometimes that's said in a way to not actually share the gospel. But sometimes we share the gospel and actually do need to remember the whole gospel. But it's like, look, Jesus came and he preached the good news and he healed people. Like, there's something about that that's pretty foundational in the way Jesus was approaching his ministry. And there's something foundational in that. It's like, man, we really do need to care for the person and care for their soul, because that's part of the person, you know, that's part of the story. So as you guys are right in the middle of these strategic plans, I mean, you guys are right in the middle of implementing some pretty well discerned and kind of hard earned vision by doing listening tours and meeting with leaders and all kinds of things and finding a way to move forward. What are the pieces of the work that are exciting to you? What's critical to you as you're in the middle of it? What's bringing you, you know, joy and excitement, but also what are things that you're like, oh man, I got to keep reminding myself, I got to keep doing this piece. But like, what stands out to you as you're now in the work?
Well, one of the things would probably be music to your ears. We tried to start an E-team for a couple of years, and I just don't know if it was, my abilities weren't enough, but we kept at it. In this last year, we've really got traction. There's a dozen of us that are on our E-team, but there's probably 10 different ministries that are represented. And I had been inviting and inviting and inviting, but I just couldn't get people to say yes. This last year, it just seemed to come together. And we talked about, what if we would commit to a long-term course here? Like, if we didn't think about just, we're going to do a project, you know, in 6 months, but what if we said, we're going to do this for several years, and we're going to learn to love each other. We're going to be friends. We're going to pray together. We're going to know each other's spouses and families. We're going to do things together. And over the course of time, we're going to build friendship and trust and a sense of belonging. And then we believe that out of that, that'll be the best work that we can do. And we're doing things together, like a citywide alpha launch in January. And we're doing this West conference I told you about. But I have to say, the thing that's probably the most encouraging is, I think the team has seen enough train wrecks and done enough projects that once you hit a hard time, people go their own ways, to realize, hey, if we don't build relationships of trust and we don't know each other and really have a love for each other, we don't really have a story to tell, or the story we're telling isn't the whole story. And I think that there's a commitment from our team to that for the long haul. And we're dreaming more. I think we're really comfortable in each other's presence. There doesn't feel like there's any competition. People are sharing like, oh, my ministry can help you on this. Let's do this part together. And some people go, I can't do that. I have too much going on right now, but I can help with this down the way. And that is just like, it feels like a wind in my sail. It's like my soul feels full when I think about the E-team in our city, which is exactly opposite of where it was two years ago when I was frustrated.
I've heard this quite a bit. You know, it's like, man, I want to launch an E-team in my city, but I just don't have bandwidth right now. And sometimes there's this sense of like, I'm adding another thing to my plate that I'm driving, that I'm the one pushing this on, you know? And I mean, gosh, I've done that at least 100 times. Usually that does not end well, you know, if I'm the one kind of driving it. I don't have enough gifts to do that well, you know, but that vision of saying, who could I walk with who would share my love of this city and our love of one another would actually be the foundation. Mm-hmm. For moving this forward, which is kind of exactly what Jesus said, right? I've got a new command for you, love one another, you know, and this is how the whole world will know, is because you actually love one another. I mean, that's quite a foundation. That's beautiful. Jed, how about you? What are some of the things that kind of stand out to you as you're in process in Omaha? You guys have done some good work, and I had a wonderful chance to be down there and see you gather leaders. It was really powerful. You had the mayor speaking, and you guys have done a really good job of casting a vision for the city, and it's clear. I mean, like, it's a clear vision, and there's clear on-ramps and there's ways to get involved as you're now kind of implementing the vision. What's exciting to you? What's standing out of like, man, this is really awesome. This is really working. And then where's the kind of learning point for you of like, sure, gosh, I wish we would have done this, but yeah, kind of that.
Yeah.
Piece.
Yeah. Yeah. Great point. Exciting for us, I think, is that there's an eagerness to be a part of something bigger than ourselves. So I think one of the beautiful things of a network is, and these are early on steps, Gary would know this, as you foster this collaborative gathering of people who have a heart for the city and really believe at the core of who they are, that what we can do together is bigger than what any one of us can accomplish on our own. So I think that's ingrained in the Within Reach community now. And I think as a result, there's an excitement or readiness for how we do this together. And I think once you get to that point, it's a bit of a tipping point in movements, because people are asking for or hoping for. Now, it doesn't mean they wake up every Monday morning wondering what's going on at Within Reach. Many of them have their own tribes and missions and commitments. And all of those we call their primary. We understand that our network is a secondary mission that we invite them into. And that said, of course, Jesus's vision stands above all. And so it's an easy inroad for us. But it's exciting for us to be at a place where, for example, as we get ready to publish For the Good, our partners in the church, community, and business are saying, how can we grow and learn how to be better neighbors? And in doing so, how to share the story of Jesus through their story. So as a result, they're ready for this. And so we're really thankful. We have an internal value that we call follow the favor, which is this idea that it's the old Blackaby idea that the Holy Spirit's already moving. God's moving around us. We join him in what he's doing. Francis Chan said, we don't create waves. We ride the waves that God produces. And so we feel like we're in the middle of that season where we can be a part of what God's stirring. And so to come to the second part of your question, we understand that our primary role as network leaders is as stewards. Stewards of the vision God's given his church across the city, stewards of the calling he's given our network, and stewards of the relationships that we have within the network. And so we have a second value that says we give our guests our best. And really, I always remind our team, and they're not a hard team to remind because they're out ahead of me so often, but our really primary call is to steward our relationships by honoring them, by working for their good. And we really think the resources we put together, whether it's a citywide alpha gathering or a launch like Gary's doing, or a conference around Bless, or a resource that's being produced, we will bring our best to the table because our guests are worthy of it. And we think that embodies the heart of Jesus. So the more we do that, and it's an imperfect endeavor because we wake up, you know, occasionally realize, we're kind of walking down the wrong path. Let's get back on the primary path that he's called us to. It's really fun, special to be a part of.
That's a brilliant answer. I mean, I think you guys, our listeners are getting like, you know, $100,000 worth of consulting during this talk. I mean, when we're able to prioritize actual relationships where we actually care about each other, I love Gary. It's like, we should know each other's wives. Like, we should hang out. We should do stuff together. We should be friends, you know, and then to say, hey, but let's be friends on a mission. Let's be strategic. Let's honor the people that God puts in front of us. I love the idea of riding the wave instead of making the wave, because that's pretty tiring. And kind of at the heart, I think, of this step of how do you train and mobilize everyday believers is the idea of the priesthood of all believers. It's like, It's actually not just Jed's job. It's not my job to tell every single person in Seattle the good news of Jesus. Mm-hmm. Mobilizing those who share that value is a great way to approach creating a team, like an E-team or something like that. How do you mobilize the value itself in the body of Christ? In other words, Jed, you used that language. I've heard you share this language before. I really love it. It's the idea of a secondary mission, right? Like, hey, you've got your calling as a nonprofit leader or as a business leader or a pastor or whatever. But there's some things we can do together. I know it's a secondary, but hopefully it's in line with the things you're doing. But how do you mobilize that missional Great Commission mindset in everyday believers? You want to grab that low-hanging fruit as you're building a team, but how do you then kind of go out and actually grow that in your city? How would you respond to that?
Oh, that's such a good question, because there's a part we play and there's a part we don't. And that's why I say we're called to be stewards. Mm-hmm. You know, the whole, like, the Holy Spirit comes to convict of sin, righteousness, and judgment is real. And the whole, like, Jesus commissions is very, very real. So there's a part the Holy Spirit can do in terms of burden, motivation, calling that I can only present, but I can't press on to those people. Yeah. Do you understand? In the followers of Jesus. So there is this essential part of our evangelism teams and of our network where we're praying into that, God, would you do what only you can do? And we're going to come alongside as you've called us to and join you in that. That's the beautiful thing about the Bless rhythm, the whole begin every day with prayer. And if we would just make it a rhythm to not only be praying for a city, but praying very practically for our neighborhood, those who live in close proximity to us, our colleagues, then God begins to do things and our eyes are open to see it. So I think that's part of it, is the recognizing, like, what's our call, what's not. When it comes to our responsibility, I think a couple of things come to mind. Really clear vision. What are we asking you to be a part of, and what aren't we? And we really caution against what I would call, like, invitation fatigue. We want to invite people to a few things that are going to have a high impact And if they show up, we're going to trust that what we bring to the table is going to leave them better in terms of leadership and or service in the community. And if they don't show up, that's okay. And we're not going to press that on them. So that's number one. Number two is we think that we want to create such excellent gatherings, and Gary does this really well, that when people show up, they leave better. And because they leave better, they want to come back. And so we're not content with subpar gatherings or products that we produce as a network. And so I think that's really important, because when they do and they get amongst the body of Christ and, you know, the whole, like, all the boats rise in the harbor, there's this temperature rise in terms of, oh yeah, this is what Jesus is calling us to. Oh yes, I need to be reminded that. Oh yeah, Father, stir this in us. We want this. We want to be part of this. For example, I'll give this as a super brief story. We just hosted over last weekend 5,000 students. We have this gathering called One, and each year just continues to grow. It's like, think Woodstock Jesus style, but they come and it's like block party, worship, food trucks, games, but then worship, prayer, and commissioning. And what we found, if we could just use our young people as a temperature gauge for what God wants to do in the city, there's an excitement to be in the room together, encountering Jesus in a spirit of joy and responding to his call in our life. And so if we continue to do that and show up and do what we can do, trusting the Holy Spirit to do what only he can do, we think he can motivate a great work.
I think, Chris, we turned a corner in Kansas City when we figured out a really simple truth that we probably should have known from the beginning, that people love to hear stories and they love to see themselves in the story. And for a long time, I think, I just say at the beginning, I think we were teaching all the things we've talked about well. And somewhere along the way, it dawned on us that, look, everybody we talk to wants to do this. They already want to. We don't have to go out and create the want to. People want to reach their friends, neighbors, and relatives, and they're trying. Like, so let's tap into what's already there and just call it what it is. We probably don't have to create this value. It's already intrinsic to believers. What we do want to do is put the cookies on the bottom shelf and make it easy for them. And that's the best way to, and the best way to do that is just tell stories. So we just started using our communication tools to tell stories, video stories that were 1 minute or less. We write stories regularly and tell them, and people can see themselves in the story, and they have a story, and then they want to tell their story. And when we started making that our primary delivery system, all of a sudden we just saw a real uptake, not only in the people who were actually practicing what we were talking about, but a joyfulness as they realize they can be a part of this. It becomes a movement at that point. And it's not like we're trying to produce it. It's like the wave you talked about. We're catching a wave of something they already want to do. We're just helping them do it on a regular basis and do it more effectively.
It just kind of reminds me of all of Jesus's metaphors of the kingdom. Like, all of them kind of make sense. Like a little bit of yeast, right? Like, it's yeast in the dough and it kind of works its way through. Or these are seeds. We're just planting these seeds and they grow and they multiply and they bear fruit. And it's just light. Like we're just light and we're going out. And, you know, all of these ideas, it's like, that is what we want, right? We want the kingdom to come and God's will to be done in our cities. A lot of the posture of what we've been said is actually just loving the body of Christ well. I mean, you both said that in a number of ways during this conversation. You know, in Ephesians, it talks about, you know, apostles, prophets, evangelists, shepherds, teachers, and then it says, who equip everyone to be apostles, prophets, evangelists, shepherds, teachers, so that everyone's mature. Part of this work of evangelism specifically, as we look at that as part of the story, right, but an important part of the story, is, you know, if we only have 1, maybe 2% of people who are evangelizing, does that mean that we have 99, 98% who kind of aren't really walking into the fullness? And I thought of just a few weekends ago in Reno, I was able to bring my son to an evangelistic festival that Palau was putting on, and he got to pray with this couple who were in their 60s. It was a husband and wife who raised their hand, and the story was they were Christians when they got married, but then they kind of just walked away from all that and they really felt called to come. And it was during the BMX guy. It's like, you'd think it would be during some other time. It was the BMX guy was sharing the faith and they just had an emotional response to it. And he got to go pray with them. And my son came back over to me and he was like, God really changed those people. And I was excited. He was praying for those people. And all of a sudden I was excited that my son got to see God changing someone. And then I was like, man, what did that do for my son? You know, for the follower of Christ to see God is actually transforming lives in the city. He's actually bringing people from darkness into the light and bringing people hope and a future and leveraging gifts and all these kinds of things. You know, I just think that's what's so exciting about this is as we start thinking of everyday believers, we're really just talking about mobilizing the body of Christ to walk in the fullness of what Christ has called all of us into. And the evangelism piece can be scary, I think, for a lot of folks. But I think it's also where we really see the heart of God on full display as we see him engaging someone's life in a way that you can only have so many relationships, right? Like you can only really walk with so many people. So, hey, I appreciate you guys, your strategic and faithful work in Kansas City, Gary, and Omaha, Jed. I love the language of invitation fatigue. Like, hey, let's keep this simple. What's the simple thing we're asking? What's the things we're not asking? What are the clear tools that you can take or leave? But here's something we suggest. You know, what's a clear ask of people? How do we kind of tell that story well in the city when we see it working well? How do we tell that story? These are all really great suggestions. Any last kind of words of wisdom as we wrap up?
If there was one thing I had to say above all of the other things we've said, I would say we have to lead with love.
I'll go on the kind of tactical side. My encouragement to city leaders, especially who are stirring up E-teams and really trying to march their way through this path, is follow the playbook one step at a time, but take the next step. For us, what was so helpful, and we use an ongoing story metaphor within Reach that's based on Jim Collins' retelling of, it's called the 20-mile march of two South Pole explorers. One made it first, one never made it back with his team. The whole notion of that was the discipline of taking one step at a time, or 20 miles a day. And for us, what we've attempted to do that I think by and large has worked, it doesn't mean we haven't had missteps or haven't skipped by a step that we've had to go back to, but I've been really pleased with how our team, our evangelism team, has had the discipline to say, we're just going to take the next step. So each year at these gatherings, I think we attended the first one maybe 4 or 5 years ago in Chicago, and it's just been fun to watch them grow. Each year we just said, okay, that's the next step we're going to take. It's the next step we're going to take. And then we find ourselves, I think 5 years in, here ready for step 9. So my encouragement is pace yourself, enjoy yourself in the process, and you'll be thrilled with what God does when you follow this process that I really trust and I'm really grateful that you guys have put out before us.
Yeah, well said. And thanks for the encouragement, Jed. We need to keep encouraging one another. I appreciate you, Gary and Jed, just encouraging so many today, and just for the wisdom and the hopeful spirit too, right? It's like, this is actually a privilege to be a part of this work. And that kind of just falls off of you as I've known you over the years. But Jed, thank you so much. Within Reach, check it out. There's just great tools on there. Jed in Omaha has been building great stuff with his team. Unite KC with Gary. There'll be links in the podcast notes. Gary, with your 40 years of ministry here, I wonder if you could just pray for those who are listening and kind of taking in all that they've heard, and close our time out.
Sure. Lord Jesus, I pray for the spirit of encouragement to come to everyone who's listening today to do life with a team of people. And I pray that you will connect people to leaders and help leaders, Lord, to display the kind of lifestyle that really creates belonging among their team. And then I pray that this compelling drive that's inside of them that we know comes from you would help them reach out to other leaders in the city and to every individual. So eventually there's a city movement happening where the shalom of God is actually over their city because of the way the believers in the city are living, that they're praying for their city, they're loving their city, they're reaching their friends and neighbors, neighborhoods are changing, not-for-profits, churches, and even city orgs are working together to build collaborative impact, Lord, until there really is a change in their city. It's definable, it's measurable, it's different, because they've poured into it. And bless their efforts, strengthen them, lead them every step along the way. And we thank you for this high calling that we have. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
What an encouraging conversation. To learn more about the resources shared in this podcast, including the Bless app and Omaha's Citywide Strategic Report, or to download the Adaptable Playbook, check out citygospelmovements.org. Join us next time for a conversation with a city leader with deep insight on step 10, developing a strategic plan for ongoing evangelistic rhythms.